I am Alan Dale Olson, Ole Olson, with the Museum of the American Military Family. And today I'm going to read you a story about a very special field trip. And the story appears in our museum's newest publication, Schooling with Uncle Sam. And it's called the AFSCENT Field Trip. Tuesday, November 30th, 1976, was just like any other day until I got to my office. Joan Tucker, the overseer of all things front office, greeted me by saying I might as well go straight in to see the man as he's been waiting for you. The man, Doc, was Joseph A. Mason, director of United States Dependent Schools European Area, called Eustacia. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Looks like you're going to have to arrange for the whole AFSCENT faculty to go to Washington. I knew he had spent yesterday with the directors of the AFSCENT school because of a number of problems, but I didn't expect anything like what he had just said. AFSCENT, Allied Forces Central Command, had been established in Limburg Province, Holland, as part of the relocation of NATO forces from France into northern Germany and Holland, and of the Supreme Headquarters Allied Forces from Paris to Brussels in 1966-67. The AFSCENT military community near Brunssum consisted mostly of American, British, Canadian, and German forces, with a sprinkling of Dutch, Scandinavian, and Belgian families. It took a couple of years, but a school for the children of those forces was formed as one complex, with four national units all sharing common areas, each unit headed by a principal with a teaching staff who would assure students received a national education, but would jointly receive instruction in such subjects as art, physical education, languages, and even history. Overall, the arrangement worked well. But in recent weeks, there had been complaints that the American section had been using more than its fair share of time in the common areas, especially in the gymnasium and sports fields. In the beginning, that was acceptable because, after all, the Americans were paying the largest share of the common costs. And a little later, as the other nationals were told that the Americans had varsity sports programs with other Eustacia schools that required long hours of practice. Schools in the other nations did not have sports teams. Students there used their gym and sports field for physical education. Those wanting to play competitive sports joined local, municipal, and regional clubs. In meetings, the German and British directors admitted they did not understand the American school sports programs, and even the Canadian director admitted that American schools were far more passionate about their school teams than anyone else. Rudy Baver, the former director of the Free University of Berlin and then the supervising administrator of the AFSCENT school, said it was a shame that the non-U.S. teachers could not actually see an American school with all of its many complexities so they could get a better feel for what school life is really like in the States. He thought the American local boards of education and parental involvement with PTAs and school volunteers would be very useful in understanding the American need for so much use of facilities. Doc said the idea had caught on, especially when the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force representative, opined that he might be able to persuade the German defense minister to allow the faculty to fly on the daily courier to and from Washington. I told him if he could do that, I have the man who can make all the arrangements for school visits in the Washington area, Doc said. All the school chiefs excitedly signed up for giving it a try. Now I knew why Doc had been waiting for me that morning. Next day, Rudy called me to say the Ministry of Defense was amenable to providing the plane, but needed a few details about the concept and what the teachers would actually do while in Washington. He proposed we plan the trip for over the upcoming spring break. So Sunday, December 5th, Pan Am took me from Frankfurt to Dulles, and the next morning I caught up with John Wary, Executive Director of the National School Public Relations Association, NSPRA, so we could spend the day conceptualizing with his staff. Because his office was in the building of the National Education Association, where I had worked for several years, I was able to scurry around to see former colleagues and solicit their thoughts. Tuesday morning, December 7th, I met with the manager of the Hotel Harrington at 11th Street Northwest in downtown D.C. and initiated a contract to house the group in April should the trip materialize. Back at Innsbruck, we decided that at least a day would be given to seminar-style meetings and that most of the week would be devoted to visiting schools. Montgomery County is one of the nation's most affluent school communities. Fairfax County, home to most of the military families assigned to the Washington area, and Washington, D.C. is an example of struggling inner-city schools. Wednesday morning, I met with Dr. Wesley Carroll, professor of education at the George Washington University, and my doctoral advisor, about resources available from GWU. The rest of the day was spent with Ken Muir, public affairs director of the Montgomery County Public Schools, and with Jim Hassan, a coordinator of cultural relations studies in Fairfax County and a former USDESE employee. With a bulging notebook, I flew back to Frankfort and home to USDESE headquarters in Karlsruhe. On January 11th, Rudy called to say he liked the draft concept and that the Luftwaffe plane was almost certain. A week later, in Heidelberg, I called on Lynn Whitaker, dean of the University of Maryland Campus Europe, to ask about awarding graduate credit to participating teachers on this study trip. She suggested some possible topics for research papers and said she would certify me as the instructor. While in Heidelberg, I met with U.S. Army finance personnel about obtaining fund citations for the U.S. side and got their support for working with the British, Canadian, and German commands for their share. DAC approved the completed plan on Tuesday, February 8th. And on the 11th, I drove to AFSCENT to review it with Rudy and the four national directors, after which I discussed it with the representatives of the Overseas Education Association and Overseas Federation of Teachers with whom Rudy had been in continuing contact. Meanwhile, Ken Muir and George Hamill, Montgomery County and Fairfax County respectively, worked on arranging school visits, and John Wary worked on locating seminar presenters and D.C. school visits. Up early Monday, March 7th, to get to the military site of Cologne Airport, where I boarded a Luftwaffe transport along with a couple dozen German soldiers. They were shepherded to the back of the plane while I was seated up front near three or four German Air Force officers. I, like them, got a hot meal and a couple glasses of German wine. At Dulles, a military bus took me to the main terminal, the soldiers off to wherever they were assigned. My Avis car got me to the city and to quick discussions with John and his deputy, Ginny Ross. Next day, I reviewed the plans with Ken, then went out to Army headquarters to request my DA counterpart, Dick Koss, to arrange for Army buses for the group's travel while in town. Another review with John on Wednesday, then a Pan Am flight to London for an overnight stay, then a hop to Amsterdam, where Rudy met me for the drive to AFSCENT and dinner with the directors. All day on Friday the 11th was spent briefing teachers, obtaining all their names with correct spellings for use on the flight manifests and hotel accommodations, and for those who wanted University of Maryland credit. My friend and colleague Carl Gustafson had spent the day at AFSCENT conducting a workshop, so I hitched a ride back to Carl's with him after school. A month later, in part to comply with some U of Maryland requirements for preliminary lectures, and mostly to assure that all systems on the AFSCENT side were a go, including transportation to the Cologne military airstrip going and coming, and that the headcount was still confirmed, Tuesday the 23rd, Rudy and I made a conference call to Innsbruck and once again reviewed the day-by-day hourly schedule. Thursday, April 7th, off to Dulles again, to Pan Am, took a taxi to Washington National for a flight to Louisville, overnight at the airport, next day drove to Brownstown, Indiana to spend Saturday and Sunday with my parents, who did their best to understand why we would fly nearly 100 teachers to and from Washington from Germany. Monday morning flight from Louisville and National, taxi to the Harrington Hotel, in time to greet the Army buses bringing the AFSCENT teachers from Dulles. The hotel's welcoming buffet reception was first class. Monday, April 11th, was a succession of presentations and discussion, a history of U.S. education and local and state school boards, school public relations and parental involvement, curriculum development, and union relations. Presenters came from both Montgomery and Fairfax County, the George Washington University, and the National Education Association. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday were given over to school visits, interspersed with free time for sightseeing. A representative from the Washington Visitors Bureau had given an excellent orientation to the group on Tuesday morning. Thursday morning, while the group traveled, I went to the Pentagon for a prearranged meeting with Anthony Cardinelli, director of the DOD Worldwide School System. The entire system was experiencing some turbulence over a DOD plan to wrest supervisory control of the schools from the military departments and consolidating it within the Defense Department. I had been empowered by Doc and by the USER Commander-in-Chief to confront Cardinelli about our opposition to this plan. My meeting did not go well, as he prophesied that Karlsruhe's days are numbered. My meeting that afternoon went better. George Hamill, PR director for Fairfax County, was pulling letters from his files that were critical of Fairfax schools, claiming that DOD schools provided more and better services. To our amusement, several of the letters had been written by people who had been critical of our schools while they were overseas. Thursday evening brought the program to an end with a fine group dinner at O'Donnell Seafood Restaurant. Even Dr. Cardinelli, whom I had invited, seemed calmer and made a few remarks about how proud he was of the DOD schools and their teachers. Friday, after lunch on their own, the group assembled in the Harrington Hotel lobby for a photo, then boarded Army buses for the ride to Dulles and the waiting Luftwaffe transport. There were no soldiers aboard, only us teachers. Though I don't think the crew serves beer or wine to the troops on their regular crossings, I recalled my wine on the ride a month or so ago and prevailed on the crew to offer everyone a drink, which meant paper cups. I was glad I had done so because just as the lights went off, the group raised their cups high in a toast to me. At Cologne next morning, the buses were ready for the drive to Holland, and Willie Holler, our faithful Eustacia driver, was hand to take me home to Karlsruhe. And that story can be found in the Museum of the American Military Family's newest publication, Schooling with Uncle Sam. This is Alan Dale, Ole Olson, having read to you a story from Schooling with Uncle Sam about the AFSCME field trip.